On Monday, the Mitchell Report is scheduled to be published. 6 months in the making, the report tries to explain what started these latest 8 months of violence between Israelis and Palestinians. The report also suggests some ground rules under which both sides might find their way to a truce. Former Senator George Mitchell headed the fact-finding committee behind the effort. The committee wants a halt to the violence, a cooling-off period, and a freeze on Jewish settlements in the occupied territories of Gaza and the West Bank. So far, Palestinian reaction has been favorable, but the report has drawn mixed reviews in Israel. Both sides will have responses in Monday's publication. Senator George Mitchell joins us on the line from New York. Welcome, Senator Mitchell.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Senator, what have been the hardest parts of this report for the Israeli and the Palestinian leadership to come to terms with?
Well, for the Palestinians, it was the committee's refusal to adopt their proposal for an international protection force to be placed in the region. We concluded that such a force could be effective only if it had the support of both sides. It does not have the support of the government of Israel, and therefore we did not support such a force. On the Israeli side, it is, of course, the suggestion that one of the several steps that we suggest to rebuild confidence during a cooling-off period is the freezing of settlement construction activity. There are also a number of other suggestions that the government of Israel does not accept, but I think that's the principal one.
The report coincides with an escalation of violence this week. For the first time, the Israelis have used F-16s against the Palestinians. Does the use of this kind of hardware change things significantly?
There has been a steady escalation of violence throughout the entire period that we've been involved. I recall, if you will, that the summit that created this committee last fall expected that the violence would soon end, and indeed our mandate suggested that we would be looking at an event that had ended, that is the violence, and we were supposed to recommend ways to prevent a recurrence in the future. I think it's a very dangerous escalation that's gone on throughout the six-month period, and that's why we stress with such great urgency the importance of an immediate and unconditional cessation of violence and an immediate return to security cooperation, which existed during the Oslo period, was ended last fall, and which I think is necessary, and then a cooling-off period and several steps to try to rebuild the confidence that's been shattered.
The Bush administration has been getting some signals from European allies and Middle Eastern allies that they want to see the United States more involved. Do you think the U.S. is involved enough?
Secretary Powell is fully engaged. I've talked to him by telephone several times in the past week. He's spending more time on this than any other subject. I think the administration is well aware while the United States cannot impose a peace process on the parties in the Middle East, there can't be a process unless the United States is fully engaged and active and plays a leadership role.
Your report also provides some perspective on how this intifada started. Was there one event, specifically Mr. Sharon's visit to the Temple Mount, that sparked this intifada, or was it a combination of things?
It was really a long chain of events, a gradual disillusionment on both sides with the Oslo process, the failure of the Camp David summit, a number of other events. We concluded that the Sharon visit did not cause the intifada, although we did say that it was poorly timed and its provocative effect should have been foreseen. And the fact is that the principal allegations of both sides were rejected by the committee because they didn't provide any evidence to us. The Palestinians alleged that it was the Sharon visit. The Israeli argument was that the Palestinians had been planning this for some weeks following the Camp David summit and were looking for a pretext to unleash the violence, and there was no evidence presented to us to support that conclusion either.
6 years ago, you were drafted to help forge a peace agreement in Northern Ireland. What lessons from that experience have you brought to the work on this problem?
Well, there has to be a lot of patience and perseverance and understanding, at least an effort to understand the difficulties on both sides and the tremendous pain that both sides are enduring, the long-standing nature of the conflict, and the importance, particularly of the United States, of remaining supportive, encouraging, and helpful, but recognizing that peace cannot be imposed on unwilling parties. I think one of the reasons I ultimately was able to be helpful in Northern Ireland is that on the first day, I said to the participants, I am not here with an American peace plan. I don't have a Mitchell plan. Any decisions will be yours, and any agreement will be yours. My role is to help create a situation to facilitate a process by which you can reach an agreement. I think the same is true in the Middle East today.
Given that the Palestinians didn't get this international force that they wanted, and that the Israelis are really opposed to this notion of freezing settlement in the territories, what hope do you have that this report is really and its advice is really going to have an effect?
That, of course, is up to the parties. We have no enforcement authority. I think the compelling factor is the tremendous toll that this conflict is taking on both sides. We described it as a grinding, dehumanizing, demoralizing conflict. And of course, the events of Friday, with a tremendous escalation and a large number of deaths on both sides, simply confirms that. Interestingly, on my last visit there just a few weeks ago, the leaders on both sides used almost identical language to tell me that the life for the people in their societies has become unbearable. And it is unbearable on both sides, and it is that which must ultimately persuade the political leaders that, as painful as political compromise is, they have to take steps to bring this to an end, because the alternative of this continued conflict is and should be unacceptable.
Senator George Mitchell.